Amen. Well, God bless you. Welcome today. Are you having a good Sunday?
Yes.
Amen. Let me just pray briefly. Father God, I just put myself at your disposal today. Lord, we pray for the heavy anointing of your Spirit here this Sunday afternoon. And Lord God, we pray for your blessing. I pray for your blessing, Father God, upon everything that I say today, Father God. Lord, may you fill my mouth with the words you want me to say in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, today I want to talk about the Sabbath. The Sabbath. In the Hebrew, it would be what? Do we know the word? Anybody know the word in Hebrew? Shabbat, exactly. Means the same thing. It means to cease. Yeah? Let me read out some phrases to you, see if you've heard any of these. The pace of life is getting faster. Rush hour. Peak time. If only I had the time. I don't know where the time goes. I'll try to find the time. How time flies. Mustn't waste time. No time to think. Don't even have time to pee. Not a moment to spare. Never enough hours in the day. I've got to rush. I never seem to stop. No rest for the wicked. You must come around sometime. Now, if you've only moved to the UK comparatively recently, you'll realize that the last one means never ever come round ever again. I lose track of the number of times people say, we must have you over for dinner. That means you will never ever get an invite. Let me tell you. We can be very, very busy, can't we? And how busy we are can be seen as a measure of how important we think we are, right? The more engagements, the busier we get, the more significant we feel that we are, and the more that we feel we're doing, right? If your body could talk to you, what would it say to you? You know, maybe it's talking to you in a language of protest, right? Now, some people, their problem is not overwork, it's underwork, right? Some people, their laziness will take them to an early grave. You know, the Apostle Paul is very clear, isn't he, in the New Testament. He says, you know, if a man shall not work, what does he say? He shall not eat. So the Bible is very tough on people not pulling their weight. You know, you'll find more references to the problem of laziness than of sexual sin or boozing or womanizing. It's interesting that, isn't it? But there can be a problem when we set aside God's principles of rest and maintenance. As you can see, we're getting a deluge already. And August is a holiday period, right? And how many people know that it's good to draw aside just for a period? How many people have had a holiday this month? Put your hand up. You don't need to be guilty. Put it up high. I know some of you have been away because I haven't seen you for ages. That includes me. Exactly. It's good to get away for a period. And God loves it. God ordains it for us to have a period where we don't do anything, that we set aside specifically. Can we get some words up on the screen? Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. So Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. Just turn to it in my Bible as well, just in case you've got a dodgy translation up there. 8 to 11, I'll read it here. It says this, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor shall your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Right? We see there that God loves the principle of rest, right? We know through creation that God worked for 6 days and rested one day. And unless we're better and cleverer and more intelligent and more important than God, it's a good idea to adopt his principle, right? Even the cattle rested for that day. The children, the strangers, whoever they were, you couldn't force your cow to do extra work. They might have think, right, let's give it to the cattle to carry on. But God ordained it that it would be a Sabbath period of rest for everything. And when I was growing up in the 80s in Cambridgeshire, it would genuinely be really quiet. Like shops would shut, and really there wasn't much else to do apart from go to church and have Sunday lunch. You know, there wasn't really computers in every home and stuff like that. You really could rest. But these days, it becomes very, very hard to switch off, doesn't it? In Japan, they have a word called karoshi, which literally means death through overwork. And although it's a very, very productive country economically, that overwork is the second biggest cause of death in working age males in Japan. Can you imagine it? Some people, it's underwork. For them, it's overwork. And God says we need to get aside with him to allocate time where we can rest and be refreshed. You know, if your output exceeds your input, your upkeep will be your downfall. We say that together. If your output exceeds your input, your upkeep will be your downfall. And for some of us, our upkeep is the really crucial thing that God is putting his finger on. Now, in the Old Testament, the seventh day of the week was our Saturday, right? We'll know about that, don't we? Because the Jews continue to observe Saturday. If you go to Hendon on a Saturday, they are going to the synagogue, aren't they? It's very obvious. Then it moved to a Sunday. And that was because the early Christians were kind of forced to do all their worship stuff on the first day of the week. So it was kind of embedded that it was Sunday, not Saturday. Then Christianity started to get a bit influential. And it started in the 4th century AD to influence the ruling classes. So they began to get in on the act. And the Emperor Constantine thought, right, we're going to fix this. Sunday is the day of organized worship. So that's where we get Sunday from. It was his decision to tweak the constitution and adjust it. So the day off was a Sunday, and Sunday worship became the norm. Now, I know sort of some people, they might say, hang on a minute, I'm an ambulance driver or a nurse or a journalist, or I work sort of night shifts. What's the problem? Am I breaking the law if I work on a Sunday according to God's principle? And I would say with that God never judges us in relation to a Sunday, you know? It's a Sunday because the Emperor Constantine ordained it. But just because we have to work sometimes on a Sunday, and I'm in that category as well, does not mean that the principle is invalid, right? We're not bound rigidly by the letter of the law, but God gives us the principle of rest and recovery. Now, it might be that, you know, Tuesday is your Sabbath day. But God has given us a principle of rest and refreshment that is there for our blessing, you know? Imagine if, I mean, if you look at all the commandments, that one, the fourth one, is really there, most of, almost out of all of them, for our blessing and enjoyment, yeah? I could say to Sarah, you know, look, I think the commandment with adultery, I think that's a bit Old Testament. I think I'm going to have an adultery holiday this week. I don't think it applies, you know. Can I just have a bit of a bank holiday from that one? Or you might go into Tesco and say, look, I know stealing was in the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are a bit legalistic. It's a bit too Old Testament. I'm just feeling like I need a bit of a break from it. No. And how much more? You know, we often say, well, you know, I don't really need a day off, or I'll not do it this week, but I got a holiday coming up, yada, yada, yada. And can you see, after a while, the habit like that becomes a pattern, yeah? And we don't want to get to the point where so many missed Sabbaths, you've gone too far, do you know what I mean? In terms of time that could have been spent with your friends or your family or in refreshment with God, is too late to turn back the clock. You can do many things, can't you? But it's very difficult to restore time, you know, there's grace under God, but God says, look, I'm here to bless you. If you're a child, you can say to your mum and dad, look, mum and dad, I don't have to do any homework today. You say in the Old Testament, look, even the cattle rested. Am I not higher than cattle? I don't need to do my homework today. I can have one day off. God has ordained it, you know? God has ordained a principle of rest. And you know with children, I don't have children, but if you do have children, you'll know if they have a sleepless night, what are they like to live with the next day? Are they nice? Are they have beautiful, sweet tempers and very cooperative with everything? No. They're difficult to live with. Say after me, difficult to live with. And we can be the same, can't we, as well? If you don't get your rest in the long term, do you become difficult to live with? I think so. There was once a businessman who came across a fisherman. And this fisherman was staring out to sea on the beach. He was just enjoying the time. And the businessman said to him, look, why you just sat there? And the fisherman said, well, look, you know, I've done all my fishing today. You know, I'm just resting. And the businessman said, well, look, don't you want to go out and catch some more fish? And the fisherman said, no, I'm all right. You know, I've done all the fishing that I want to do. And he says, well, look, if you get more fish, you'll get more money. You can get a bigger boat and you can take it out. You can maybe get a fleet of boats. And the fisherman says, well, I don't know. Well, why do I want to do that? There's not really much point. I'm happy doing what I want to do. And the businessman says, well, look, I really think you should do it as a development plan, a goal plan. I think you should do it. And the businessman said, well, and the fisherman turns to the businessman and he says, you know, what's the point of all of that? Once I've done all of that thing, once I've accomplished all those goals, what am I going to do? And the businessman sort of thinks for a while. He says, well, I think you'll just be able to sit back and enjoy it. And the fisherman says, well, that's what I'm doing now. I'm here now. I'm enjoying it. There's always something else that you can do, isn't there? And some of those principles for success that are very, very good are also the same principles that if we take them to extremes will drive us to a nervous breakdown. And we have to know the difference. Are we the businessman or are we the fisherman? And there's a time to work, but there's a time to rest. And I want to look at some principles. Number one, the Sabbath is a time to rest my body. Okay? A time when you can chill out and rest, right? Like the fisherman. He's done his work, he can rest. It's over. There's a period of contemplation, of rest and reflection. Number two, the Sabbath is a chance to recharge my emotions. Can we say that together? The Sabbath is a chance to recharge my emotions. Hallelujah. There was a budgie one time called Chippy, and he was in his cage, and his owner had the vacuum cleaner on, and she was vacuuming the bottom of Chippy's cage. All going well until the phone rings, and she goes to answer the phone, and as she's going to answer the phone with one hand, the vacuum cleaner holding nozzle hand unfortunately moves up in the cage from the floor towards Chippy. And what do you think happens to Chippy? Into the bag. So Chippy is stuck in the bag. She thinks, oh my God. So she just says to her friend on the phone, I'm really sorry, I've just sucked up the budgie, I'm gonna have to ring you back. So anyway, she opens up the vacuum cleaner. You know what it's like? Opens up the bag, gets all the dust out the way, and eventually she finds this yellow budgie there. I think, thank goodness, he's just about survived. It's a close run thing. And she gets the budgie, rushes to the bath, puts the cold water tap on real quick, and like she's holding him in the downstream of all the water, like the water's just pouring off him, managing to get all that dust, just getting rid of it, trying to clean him up. And after that, he's obviously alive, like his heart, little heart, is pumping. But she thinks, crumbs, I need to dry him out. So she gets the budgie here and gets her hairdryer. It's like, and the budgie gradually is dried out, and his all his feathers sort of fluff up. And she thinks, maybe this will be enough to revive him. So anyway, she puts him there, back in the cage, and the budgie, he sort of looks all right, but he never sang as well again. There was something that was just not right. Can we collectively just say, ah, ah. There was something not right about Chippy the budgie. He used to sing beautifully. Now he's a bit of a nervous wreck, a bundle of nerves. If he hears the vacuum cleaner, he goes crazy, thinks, oh no, is it going to happen again? You know? He was sucked in, he was washed out, and he was blown over. Have you ever felt like Chippy the budgie? Sucked in, washed out, you're blown over. I'm a bundle of nerves. I'm so tired. I am so busy. I just don't have the time. I'm at my wit's end. What is God's solution to recharging your emotions? How do we do it? The psalmist says, he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Exactly. Quietness. It's weird, isn't it? If you're listening on the tape, don't worry, we haven't gone away. We're still here. I work in radio, and seconds, if you've messed up a bit of audio and you suddenly get silence, a second can seem like a minute. We have radio transmitters that if they don't hear anything, I think it's 30 seconds, they automatically play some music. So during things like Remembrance Day, you know, when we have 2 minutes of silence, 11 a.m., November the 11th, the transmitters have to be stood down, because otherwise they'll you know, come in with green sleeves or something like that, you know. So in all areas of our lives, we are so programmed to not being quiet that those areas of life that used to be quiet now very often can be occupied by a smartphone or by the internet in some way, shape or form. Getting quiet feels flipping weird, doesn't it? But just because we have changed in how we deal with our lives does not mean that God has changed with his principles or how he wants us to live, you know? And the Sabbath gives us an opportunity to recharge emotions. You know, your friends and your family are God's original department of health and welfare. And they're the first thing to go very often, aren't they, when we get too busy. You, like me, probably a big fan of Robin Williams. And I was very sad indeed to hear this week just about his suicide, a very tragic end. I hadn't fully appreciated that he'd struggled with a lot and depression and things in his life. I wasn't particularly aware of that. But I always like to look at people's biography for what happened in their early life, just out of interest, really, to see if the implications, the seeds were sown maybe many years ago. And I read that Robin Williams' dad was a very busy executive for the Ford Motor Company in America. And his dad got a transfer to Detroit, was doing very, very well. And his dad worked sort of many, many hours, and he lived in a very big house, Robin Williams, and they had servants, and, you know, it's a big deal. He came from an affluent background. But Robin Williams said, much of his time, he said, he spent alone in the family's large home playing with his 2,000 toy soldiers. He said, my only companions, my only friends as a child were my imagination. My father was away for much of the time, and when he was home, I found him frightening. And his mum worked as well. So really, he was brought up by the servants, not by his parents. And he said his upbringing left him with a very, very acute sense of abandonment, and a condition he described as love me syndrome. Now, that's him sort of saying that. You know, we don't know quite the extent to which, you know, the early life influenced the later life. But it's significant, isn't it, that they were time, that was time that he needed, that was taken away from him by other concerns. You know, it must have looked very valid. Let's work hard at Ford to get on and get ahead and forge a career, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it got out of balance, didn't it? You know, meal times, you know, they can be snatched these days. We've just spent the day with my mum and dad, and for my mum, like, making the meal is like a very, very big deal. Like, she'll spend the whole of Saturday putting it all together, and you don't want to miss it, otherwise you'll be in real trouble. You know, the meal is really prized, and probably for a lot of our mums it was like that as well. You know, they didn't have convenience food. You know, they made everything from scratch. I'm not criticizing convenience food. We all use it and rely on it, don't we? But the meal times are sometimes an area where it gets eroded and chipped away, you know? I saw a friend a couple of weeks ago, and we were meeting up for the evening, and he spent all evening on his phone, right? All evening, like, texting. And I thought at the end of it, what the point of catching up? There's no point in this whatsoever. You're spending all the evening on your phone, you know? Encroachments, aren't they, on time that is meant to be a time of recharge and refreshment and blessing, you know? Once heard a story of a preacher who he stopped off at a service station and doing a long drive and has a cup of coffee. After he's had a cup of coffee, pops to the little boys' room and goes to the urinals. And if you've ever been in a gent's urinals, there's no conversation really, is there, between one man at one urinal and another. Everyone feel quite shy. And anyway, thought this was a bit odd because he went in there and there was one guy who was talking very loudly to himself as he was going for a pee. And this is weird. And then he notices that this bloke, as he's at the urinal like this, he's like cradling his phone like that. So he's like going to the loo. Yeah, sure, mate. Yeah, sort out the Warrington contract. Yeah, anyway. Like, he thought, my goodness, this is a man who is so welded to his mobile phone, he can't even take a pee without putting it down. It's like, how disgusting is that? And he said, right. He just prayed to God. He said, God, teach that man a lesson. And literally, after he said amen, the phone fell straight from his shoulder, like, into the urinal there. And the man was so shocked, he couldn't even do it. He just was peeing on it for like several seconds. Couldn't believe what had happened. We can get too wedded to stuff. For goodness sake, don't take your phone to the loo with you. That is a sign, all right, that you need to recharge. You need to recharge, for goodness sake. You know, in Latin, the word for leisure is a word called lycia, and it means permission. And we need to sometimes give ourselves permission to take time and to enjoy it, don't we? It's something God has given to us. And one facilitates the other, right? You can't work all the time, and you can't play all the time, can you? But you work to enable yourself to have leisure, but give yourself permission to have leisure in order that you will work properly, yeah? So number two we had there, a chance to recharge our emotions. That's the Sabbath. Number three, the Sabbath is a time to be renewed spiritually. Can we say that together? The Sabbath is a time to be renewed spiritually. Now, when you keep a day holy, don't rest alone. And God wants to join us. You know, it's not just a day for golf or for doing whatever we like. We need the rest and refreshment that only God can do. It's not purely downtime, just to do absolutely nothing, although that is an element of it. But in the same way that sleep refreshes the body, worship refreshes the spirit. And you know, sometimes I come here on a Sunday morning and, you know, I'm so uplifted by the worship because it's beautiful, you know. There's no substitute for bringing God into your off day. We don't want to just have an off day, downtime for the sake of it. God has ordained that time to speak to us. And sometimes we need to say, well, look, you know, if it isn't now that God talks to us, when is it, you know? He can talk to us any time, but particularly those times when we're quiet and we're silent, God is particularly able to work. There was a boy one time who said to his mum, he said, Mum, I don't need to come to church today because I've been watching a church service on TV. So I've done it all. I don't need to go to the church. I've seen it on the television. And she said, oh, fine, son, that's no problem. But later, when we're sitting down to have our Sunday lunch, you can just watch an advert for McDonald's on the telly. Do you think he was satisfied by that? See, TV can be a great added extra, but it's not a substitute for real community, is it? You know, you can't build the relationship that God wants you to build with him unless you have contact with his people. It's not a substitute. It's a tool, but it isn't a replacement. And many people worship their work, they work at their play, and they play at their worship. Can we say that together? Many people worship their work, they work at their play, and play at their worship. And God wants us to reorder the priorities, right? Because sometimes we're all up sort of crazy all over the place, and different things have different sets of priorities. And God says, look, I want you to order your life according to my priorities. I don't want you to be driven by what's on the telly. I don't want you to be driven by your boss. I want you to have a God order in every aspect of your life. And we need to ask ourselves whether we're taking this commandment seriously to rest our bodies, because it is a commandment, and whether we're recharging our emotions and whether we're renewing ourselves spiritually. We can get many things back, but you don't get time back, do you? And God says, I want you to live a life that is blessed. Now, when you look back, the things you've invested in most heavily are the people around you that God has placed there, your friends, your family. And he wants you to order things before it's too late to undo the damage. So God says, draw alongside me and come and have your Sabbath. We go to another scripture, Matthew 11. Last scripture. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. God says this, something very specific about us and about the task that he gives for us, about the life that he gives for us. And it says this, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Christ says, if you feel burdened, come to me for refreshment. Jesus said, I purchased rest for you on the cross. It was part of my covenant. It's an entitlement. It's a commandment, but it's also a blessing and an entitlement, yeah? And sometimes we're burdened because things have been laid upon us that were never meant to be laid upon us in the first place. Now, I don't mean by that that it's all absolute plain sailing or, you know, we're never ever going to get any difficult times in ministry. I don't mean that for a second. I don't mean that we don't have to work hard, you know, because very often we do. But fundamentally, Jesus says, what I'm laying on you, what I've asked you to do, fits you just perfectly well. Like, it's a lovely fit. There's nothing that should feel heavily burdensome about the call of God and what God has put on our lives. And he says, you know, that task that I have for you is something good. It fits well. You know, like if you get like a nice bit of clothing and it's not saggy, it's not too tight, it's just good. It's right. It's right for you. And God, what he has that's right for you also fits well. It's like it's a comfortable fit. And sometimes we need to come to God and ask him to just unload us, you know? There's no shame in that. God is a God of refreshment and unloading and just, you know, passing the burden onto him. And if we're always living under that heavy burden, well, it's probably not a burden that Jesus has laid on our shoulders, is it? There's a woman called Monica who had a very wayward son, and he was always drinking, he was womanizing a lot. And she said, Jesus, please, please, please sort my son out when he goes to university. Do whatever it takes just to get his attention. And that man, her son, was St. Augustine. And he gave his life to Christ very dramatically. And he said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you, Jesus. And some of us, like him, need to find our rest in God before we can rest on the Sabbath. You know, it's not just a case, is it? Sometimes we just, right, day off, let's rest. If we're not feeling restful, we ain't going to rest, are we? But when we come to God before and just pass our burdens on to him, God is able to remove them and give us the rest that he purchased on the cross, to be refreshed. You know, even in difficult times, even in a busy lifestyle, to still have the principle of Sabbath that Jesus has bought for us with his blood. I don't know if somebody just wants to come up and just play a little bit. Just going to have just a brief response, if that's you. Thanks, Janita. It makes me look more spiritual. Just pray a little bit. But we sometimes need to come aside, don't we, and draw aside with God and say, God, if I've been carrying burdens that you have not meant me to carry, I don't want to carry them anymore. And I don't just want to not carry them because of me. I want to not carry them because of my family and my friends and you, who might be hurt in the process of not observing that principle of Sabbath, of rest. And it's good to work hard for the Lord. It is good to work hard for the Lord. It's good to achieve and to not be lazy. But God also wants us to be people of balance, because God himself was a God of balance. He worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh. And God today wants to lift. If any part of that message specifically ministered to you, if you want prayer for something specifically around it, we want to just pray for you. If you're someone who's really, really struggled with just the whole idea of rest or being a workaholic in the past, something I very much have a temptation towards. I know absolutely what it's like. For other people, it might be the case you've accepted burdens, things on your shoulders, and you realize at the time, oh God, it wasn't really right, but I just took it on because it was a good work, but it wasn't a God work. And God just wants to unwind some of those burdens that have been placed on your shoulders, because he wants you to live a life of rest and joy. Importantly, to have that rest and refreshment for the things he's really called you to do. And God says, I don't want you to be doing half a dozen things. I want you to be a dozen things here, there, and everywhere, burnt out like a candle at both ends and all of that. He says, I want you to live a life that is rested, that is ready for the good things and the worthwhile and productive and fruitful things that I've set before you in your path. So if that's you, do come to the front. We just want to pray with you. Specifically, we've got other people just on the leadership team who want to stand with you. So do come. If you just need prayer with that, not talking in a general sense, but if you need something specifically, just to have somebody stand with you and just say those words, just stand with you and make this a new day, a new Sunday, a new Sabbath, where you're saying to God, God, I'm coming before you because I want you to help me to understand this principle of Sabbath rest and refreshment, because I want to be clean and I want to be rested and I want to be right for my friends and my family and for the call and the destiny that you've got. And I want you to bind all distraction and all those things that people would load on me, false expectations, all sorts of rubbish. It's a time to get rid of it and shake it off. And we're just going to have that time now. Thank you.